This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins, and I'm super stoked with what's happening right now. We are post-Patty Vasquez show, and I had a podcast that I was going to do with Brandon C. Price, who is to my right here. Brandon, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Craig. How are you?
And I just asked you if you wanted to hang out and do the podcast, and you said yes. And then the best part, Patty Vasquez is also here.
Not the best part. I'm very excited.
And this, well, because this topic, too, is one that we've actually talked about on the radio show, so it makes sense that you're here, Patty, and we're also drinking a little bit.
This
is
organic
my
beauty.
Part.
Yeah, this came together in the most beautiful
this
way.
This is internet podcasting fun.
I think we should do this more often.
Yeah, we should do this a lot more
why
often.
Why have we never done
I don't know
this.
Why I don't record the show after your show while we drink. That seems like a really great
I don't have to be here. This is encouraged. This is how it should always go down.
Yeah, I'm on, you know, Michigan Avenue looking out the showcase studio window. I've never done this before.
This is your studio.
I know. Well, for the moment.
No,
I
it's
kind
yours.
Of.
When you're here, it's your studio.
All right. It is officially my studio.
You are Mike?
I want them to rename it the Allstate Showcase Studio featuring Craig Collins.
You need to make the sign.
So we're here to talk about Flash, which is very exciting. That song is actually the post-credits song because they don't really have a theme song to the show.
My name is Barry Allen.
Yeah, he just jumps in and says who he is. Yeah. And then they go. And Brandon, to start with you, you've seen how many episodes of the show?
I have probably seen the first season and a half. And then once we talked about it, I went back to watch the first few episodes again.
Well, because the Reverse Flash is the first season. By the second season, that whole storyline's
right, that's kind of gone. And then the bad
so
guy
Zoom.
From, what's the, Prison Break. The bad guy from Prison Break takes over.
We don't.
Right.
It's the same
we don't
guy.
Know who Zoom is.
We don't call him that, though. We don't call it the guy from Prison Break. We call him the guy with the really cute blue eyes. Oh, no, not you, me.
Right, no, that's fine. That's totally fine.
No, I mean, you can't ignore those eyes.
Yeah. No, you really
I don't know what the two of you are talking about, though, because the main villain in season two is Zoom, and we don't know what he looks
who's
like.
Who's Fire and Ice? The brothers?
Fire and Ice?
I
you mean Firestorm?
Cold and Gun?
Okay. Oh, you mean Captain Cold?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Blue eyes.
Yeah, so Leonard Snart. He is actually not the villain in the second season. He is sort of a rogue good guy who's now
he's
in
he's the
a
gambit
TV show.
Of this situation.
Let's go to the pilot, right? Because that seems like a good place, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
No. So it's fine. So the way that I typically, what I like to start off with is why did you challenge me to this show? This week is actually the first time that someone's accepted a challenge from me because, Brandon, I challenged you to watch this show.
So you I did. Guess, I accepted Lost several
well,
months
technically
ago.
Well, you did, but then I watched Lost. So we both watched Lost.
Okay,
this is
that's
the first
fair.
Time that I haven't
challenge.
Binged
okay.
anything for my podcast because I've been watching it as it happened.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Cool.
So I'm not binging. You did the binging to some extent. And Patty's watched the whole show, which is awesome.
From the beginning,
yep.
All in, kind of.
Yeah, well, I've been all in. So that's I guess what I'll do is instead of ask the question to you guys, I'll answer the question, why did I pick this show? I think it's the best superhero show on television right now. I think that that's a very easy, to me, it's the best one. And I don't count the things on Netflix. So
okay.
I throw
okay,
out
cool.
Daredevil. I throw out Jessica Jones. I just, what's on television, to me, this has been the strongest show 2 years in a row, which is a really big deal because the first season was so good, I didn't know if the second season would be as strong, and I think it has been.
Well, and DC is a little bit more hit and miss as a company than compared to the ultra 3 decades laid out plan universe of Marvel.
Right.
And so for DC to get a win like this when we see heroes like Superman just not do what they should be doing cinematically.
So let's talk about that because the CW actually does a really great job with DC products. The CW did an amazing show called Smallville.
Smallville. Okay.
And now they're doing two really great shows. Actually, I think three. They've done Arrow for a while, mm-hmm. Flash, and now Legends of Tomorrow is a show that's on TV. And everything they've done on the big TV stations that is DC related has been great. You're right. The movie universe is not so good.
It's for sure.
But at least to me, all three of these shows have been pretty great, and that's why it comes up on the show that you host, Patty Vasquez.
Well, I was very excited when Arrow came out because this is a superhero I had no idea. I didn't grow up on comic books. I saw Batman, you know, Wonder Woman, obviously, big for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know any of these characters. Wolverine, when those movies came out, mm-hmm. my husband started explaining those to me. So I'm like, I don't understand.
And he's a comic book nerd?
Ish. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But I love the world of Arrow was fascinating. The way CW does it.
Yeah.
The backstory, the flashbacks, explaining his origin, you know, Oliver... Is...
Yeah, that is really cool about Arrow, to talk about that real quick, is just the way that they've introduced that character and his whole kind of origin story is they run concurrently. So each episode we see some of what Arrow did in his previous life mm-hmm. before he became the Arrow that's now saving Central City or Starling City.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is cool that they continue to do that. We're 4 seasons into the show and they're still giving us more backstory and more things that eventually become part of the plot.
So when Flash, they started like previewing some of that. Remember,
yeah.
It was during the Arrow season that they would give us a little bit of glimpse.
They
of,
did a backdoor pilot too to Flash, they, right? That's the word for it. Yeah,
it is.
Okay,
that is
talk.
What it, I believe.
Yeah,
yeah. They do it. It's extraordinary what they've done with Flash. Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I was.
No, I learned backdoor pilot as a word.
No, I was inappropriately laughing at the term backdoor pilot.
Craig knows.
No, well, so the third season.
So it's my nickname in high school.
I think it's the second or the third season of Arrow. That's a great nickname. They introduced the Flash character, and then they knew already that he was going to have a show. So I don't know if that's a backdoor pilot, if they've already greenlit a whole season of it.
Was it the same actor that they brought in?
Yeah. Yes. So he Very comes cool. in for one episode. He is a forensic guy with the police department who's helping on a case that Arrow's involved in. And then he gets struck by lightning and goes into a coma.
Right.
Which when he wakes up from, he realizes he's a Flash.
Is it lightning? I thought it was like some sort of a
explosion. The particle accelerator blows up.
Right.
And that huge giant electrical field is taking over everything, and the Flash actually gets struck by lightning through the ceiling window.
Right.
And then he gets jolted back to the ground.
So in combination with the particle accelerator and the lightning.
And most of the meta-humans that come out were not only hit by the wave, but also involved somehow in some sort of other phenomenon, like they were in a fire or...
Yeah, exactly. Typically, that's how you get your specific power. Your specific power is somehow related to what you were interacting with when the particle accelerator blew up.
That's my first issue. Is I don't think you build a particle accelerator in a populated city. It's like, go back to the Manhattan Project. They built it outside of Chicago, and had anything gone wrong, they were doing it in a squash court with a bunch of uranium plates around it.
Why not?
Had anything gone wrong, things would have gone wrong in a very populated area.
The Fermilab has a particle accelerator, right? And that's pretty close to this Chicago place that we live in.
I think the Flash is an educated reason why we might not want to do that.
So you're saying that if there are metahumans, that we should be expecting them in the Chicagoland area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think maybe.
Once the Fermilab blows up, we're all going to be superheroes, is what we're saying.
I have something to tell you guys.
Right. Which is why we need to interact with the thing that we want our power to be. You should just every day make sure to be in close contact.
We'll walk around with a $5 bill.
You want to be $5 man?
I just want to be able to shoot $5 bills from my arms and then have tons of them.
Generate them just spontaneously.
Wow. That would be a very odd power.
I've never had
to be honest.
What's your superpower?
Oh, I would love flight. I mean, flight's a very basic one, but also I think if you realistically could fly but you didn't have any other powers, that would probably hurt. I don't think that you'd be able to fly without like
It'd
the
be
wind.
Cold.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, you'd probably die.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah,
it would be a very it would be a very short happy power.
Especially in Chicago, you can only fly 4 months out of the year.
Yeah. Like. Well, I would move if I gained flight. Patty's dying. Brandon, if I gained flight, I would move. I would probably fly
That's
to Hawaii.
Bad. Yeah, I'll
and then
see
just
you in a minute.
There.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think time control or Mystique's ability to
okay.
be whoever
time
you want to be.
Time control is the best, actually, and Flash does have that through.
That's
speed.
True. He can
he
go so fast.
He does now.
He can
He's learning
time.
How to control it a little bit, right?
Yeah, which is really cool because in the show you see the evolution of him training his powers, which I think is a very Dragon Ball Z attraction to me.
I love
you
that he mentioned Dragon Ball Z.
I'll get it in every episode.
But is he also being? Because I know that they're also trying to enhance that through other like I'm trying to get this.
So,
this world is very hard for me to wrap my mind around.
So what I really do like about the way that CW does DC stuff is they try to be somewhat. Accurate compared to the comics, but do it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So it's still in the comic books, the Flash runs on a treadmill that is a speed treadmill that helps him travel through
really
time.
It's a really nice treadmill.
Yeah, it's a really cool one. I mean, he doesn't just
enhanced.
Use it for exercise. Yeah.
Was it hit by lightning?
I don't believe it was hit by lightning, but I feel like it could have been, and then maybe he'd flash somewhere. I don't know. But I think it's very cool that they've incorporated time travel, and then they keep using these. Zoom is actually the main villain of Kid Flash, who is now maybe on the show as well. Wally West is the son of Joe West. And if you've seen this, have you seen Wally and him pop up at all?
I believe I'm behind on the...
Okay, so Wally West is the son that Joe has that he didn't know about.
This is the original Helmet Flash.
Well, Helmet Flash, no, that's Jay Garrick.
Okay, all right, sorry. You continue. I cut you off.
Let me just explain all the Flash characters to you guys. So Jay Garrick is the original Flash. He was the one from, like, the 40s. And so he is now incorporated into the show through Earth 2, which is the other Earth that they connect to... when they open up this giant time vortex.
Right, we get into the multiverse,
by the end
which
of season
makes
one.
Sense, because if you're at molecular speeds, you're going to finally tap
into
that.
Well, and multiverse is another thing that existed predominantly in Flash, but in all of DC. So,
well, and in the actual real world, too.
Okay, is this the one where... Okay, so World 2 is where Tom Cavanaugh is not evil.
Yeah, so Tom Cavanaugh is I think, and I know we differ on this, Tom Cavanaugh is an amazing actor. I think specifically in this show, he did a really good job. So at the end of the first season, when they kind of killed him, they probably thought to themselves, well, how does Tom Cavanaugh stay on this? So they brought in a second same guy from a totally different universe. So he's now a part of Earth One, even though he's from Earth Two.
Because Tom Cavanaugh is not actually the scientist.
He is.
Took in over both, someone's body.
Right. So the villain from the first season, and the spoilers are totally okay in my podcast, is not actually Tom Cavanaugh's character.
Right.
He's actually Eobard Thawne, who took over his body and became him. And then that's the guy that we knew through the whole first season.
Let's talk about Victor Garber.
Go ahead. Please go ahead.
So Victor Garber and another actor have to share a body.
Yep.
Okay.
That's Firestorm.
Yes.
That's two people that become one character who can...
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
...create fire at an atomic level.
Because the minute I saw Victor Garber, I'm like, okay, all in again.
Yeah. That was really great.
Because Jesse L. Martin is great as...
Jesse L. Martin is incredible.
He plays the dad who kind of brought in Flash.
Right. Was in jail forever because of the murder of Flash's mom.
His real dad is in jail. Because they think that he killed...
Oh, Flash. You're talking about the police officer.
Yes.
Who's the actual dad of the cute lady.
Yes. And then the cute lady who Flash would have asked out the day he was hit by lightning.
Right.
Was actually about to.
Which he I'm was in not love sure with. If he... He said he was going by the to, way, but the guy had been putting it off his whole life, and we know Barry Allen.
How weird.
This is Iris West. And again, I now feel like I'm sort of explaining the show to you guys. I like that you've seen it, but... Iris West is the character that Joe West's daughter, that's Joe West's daughter,
yeah,
and that's the
going.
One, yeah, that Barry grew up with. But in Earth 2, they're married.
Oh, good for
Barry
Earth
Allen
two.
Is married to Iris West, and she is the captain of the police force.
Well, because at the end of season, I believe season 2, they get together, they kiss and everything, but he has to go back in time in order to change things and fix stuff.
So he
loses that moment.
What I really like about the show, too, is how light they can be at times and then how really well acted some of those really touching moments are. And I think especially the lead guy, the guy who plays Flash, does a really good job in those moments. And you're right. There's a moment where... Iris finally admits to liking him because the world is about to end.
Yes.
And then he kisses her and runs away from it. And because of that, that's the first time that he travels through time. And so now he knows that she's admitted that to him. And
his
he's
feelings
trying to deal
made
with
him
it.
Run so hard. He traveled
so
through
hard.
Time.
He ran so hard.
Story of my life.
And this is why you have to explain the show to me, because they keep, like, as you mentioned, Tom Cavanaugh, they probably wanted to make this character so he could stay on the show.
Yeah.
They keep changing the rules.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a confusing show for sure. So,
although
like,
a lot of people, I do think, back the science of this show more so than other superhero shows.
That is also true. Some of the things that they do, at least there is a veiled, semi-connected scientific explanation. It's not accurate, of course, Patty.
Have the magic scientist that can do any form of science.
But it's different than other shows like Arrow specifically, which is now incorporating magic and stuff into this most recent season.
The well where people can come back to life?
Well, the Lazarus Pit has always been a part of Batman.
You say pit, I say well.
Yeah.
Lazarus Pit. Ra's al Ghul is a huge Batman villain, and that was a big villain in Arrow, in the last season of Arrow, and the Lazarus Pit is his main way to stay immortal. So like that was all. I love the fact that... And
which
actually,
I really wish Batman Begins had it addressed a little bit
yeah,
more.
That would have been cool.
He could have been the villain. I mean, absolutely.
Right. Liam Neeson could live forever in Batman
Begins.
Yeah,
and you need Liam Neeson in your
show. I think it is also cool that all three DC shows...
Or Liam Neeson without...
Look, I'm from the South. Keep going, Craig.
There's an L.
I think it's cool that all three shows have now actually mentioned Superman and Batman, and in one of the most recent episodes of Flash, we saw Supergirl. Supergirl is in... He's running through the little traveling time thing where he sees other dimensions and stuff when he's trying to go to Earth 2, and we see the Supergirl on CBS because she's going to be on the show. So they're incorporating...
Wow, the networks are working
together. Yeah, CW is a stepchild. It's a second sister to the other big stations, I think.
This is a whole studio network thing that I don't understand either, but you can have a show
on
one network.
If you're explaining it to me through superheroes, I'm in.
Well, we're not going to go into Supergirl. That's the time, another time, another place.
No.
But I, by the way, I do love the actors on Flash. Vibe, the kid who plays Vibe, what's his...
Cisco Ramon is the name of the character. He's amazing.
And such a funny, sweet, smart character.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best.
In Earth 2, he has full control of his powers, and there's more to Vibe than just
explaining his powers, though. Yeah,
Vibe is actually able to create a wind tunnel-esque propulsion that comes from his hands. That's what he chooses, where he chooses to shoot it. I just died almost. He chooses to shoot it from there.
We can fix that, Flash. Run really fast.
And then he can actually, he actually can even stop Flash. So you learn very recently
waves?
In the comic
books.
It's like a wave that he has a connection with. That's how he can go in between dimensions too. Yeah. It's all some sort of control.
Again, that's
of
why I love Flash, because at least you're giving me a pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't have to accept magic.
If he shoots this in the right way, he could actually contain the Flash.
But where we are now with the character, he's only starting to understand his powers, which is kind of like seeing something that's going to happen, or right?
He's getting Cisco is one of the only characters who can connect to all the different dimensions. So he can actually feel what's going to happen because he can see it.
Yeah, because he actually sees in the future that Barry Allen's going to be killed by, you know, and it does all that and it kind of warns him, which is a really cool part of
He sees
him.
Like apocalypse stuff. That's not fun for him.
No, all right.
Well, no, but it helps everybody else.
But
really,
the actor is so good at taking the way
Yeah, I do really enjoy him.
And so funny. I
wish I could grow my hair out like that.
He comes up with all the nicknames for all the bad guys, and he just does that so well. It's so believable and so silly.
And also, I will say with the language on the show, this only goes to my son, who is 12, who's enjoyed the show. So Flash is his favorite show on television.
Yeah,
he loves Grant Gustin.
Good call, Griffin.
And he, so there's a moment where Vibe goes to Tom Cavanaugh. I'm not sure which, I think it's even from Earth 3.
It has to be.
The line was, "You're such a dick." And so, I mean, like, Griffin, can I say that on your podcast?
Yeah.
I would say that on our other show.
Yeah, you would say it on the other thing.
You could say that on the other show.
Yeah,
I don't know why that just happened.
You
can
say it on CW on primetime.
Yeah, you can say it a lot of places.
So Griffin, Griffin kind of sat there like, this is a character he adores. And we had to like sit there for a moment and go, oh, yeah. I mean, that happens.
Griffin does really react very negatively to the
language. I would
say
less because of Bruce
Griffin's
Campbell.
Griffin's above that level. He's just got an intelligence for a 12-year-old that's just,
He's now moved on to the point where he goes, I get why it's used artistically.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Bruce Campbell convinced him that it's more than just, just dirty talk.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's emotion. I think it was Vibe. It was Cisco who taught Griffin to go, well, sometimes it's the only word that works.
Yeah, right. You just can be taken
over
by
the
moment.
And that's how good that actor is.
Yeah, that's really cool to have an influence on an open, innocent mind like that. You know what I mean? That's actually really cool.
It's truly how good they all are at playing the emotional moments. Because there are, even in the last couple episodes when they travel to Earth 2, and the most powerful thing I think that happened recently, have you seen the last couple episodes, Patty?
No, I have not.
So I don't want to ruin stuff for you, but they go to Earth 2, and in Earth 2, Flash's mom is alive. She never died. Okay. So,
and how does he leave?
No, great question.
How do you go?
So he goes home with Iris West, who he's married to, because he actually has to knock out, him in Earth 2 to take the
place. But what about Patty?
Can
police
I have
officer?
An Earth 2?
Patty is
doing
her own thing.
By the way, first Patty in decades on television who's a badass.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's great.
And their moments are so cute, the two of them together.
There's not been a good Patty on television.
Until now. Funny?
And everything.
Well, that's a long time ago. Patty Mayonnaise is not super
recent.
Oh, no.
Is it a long time ago?
Ish. I mean, that's the very beginning of our childhoods. So,
Let's age together.
I'm 30 now.
I was very happy to hear Patty on television.
Yeah. And Patty Spivot has been an incredible kind of romantic, because actually in the comic books, it's not quite as intense as it is in the TV show. So they did a really good job of making her more.
Yes. Well, the episode where they go out for their first date and he can't see.
Yep.
And Cisco has to tell him everything through the glasses. It's just beautiful.
And that's happening while they're also doing the superhero stuff and saving the world. Those moments are so sweet and funny. But this moment in one of the last two episodes, the second to last one we've seen, Grant did such a great job of playing this, because he's playing a person who lost his mom as a kid, who had to travel back in time at the end of season one to maybe save his mom, which has been his life's mission, kind of, at least to understand that why she died and catch the guy.
Why he saw
his
yellow
dad's
and
in prison the whole
streaks.
Time.
Yeah.
And then once he realizes he has superpowers, he's like, wait, maybe I can travel back in time and save her.
Yes.
And then he has to realize that would be a mistake.
He has to make a choice.
Right. So then he travels to Earth 2 and she's alive, and he calls her because Iris, as they're walking in the door, his wife says, oh, your mom called. You got to call her back. And the most casual, he picks up the phone and he's shaking. It's amazing. This moment is truly touching.
He grew as an actor so hard for me. The beginning, I was like, all right, man, come on.
You got to see
buy
this.
It, but as he moved through, he really does evolve the character so well.
Well, and that's what I love so much about some superhero shows, some superhero movies, is they do more than just be a superhero show. Mm-hmm. That moment transcends superhero genre. The idea you would have this kind of connection with someone and lose them and be able to communicate with them again in a casual way to them, but a profound way to you. Like, there's several things I dug out of that moment that were like, this is really incredible.
Absolutely.
And they just thought of this. They're like, well, of course, he's going to go to Earth 2. His mom's going to be alive. And his wife would be like, oh, your mom called.
How many people would kill for that opportunity? You know what I mean? That's such a relatable feeling. And it takes us out of like, well, I'll never mm-hmm. be as fast as the. I'll never have a superpower, right. but oh my God, we feel the same thing.
I could understand
that's,
going
that's
somewhere.
That's a credit to the show.
Yes.
Yep. I can understand going somewhere where someone I lost is alive again and then talking to them again.
To access
and his,
that?
His voice is wavering, the way that he plays the part. And the
ugh,
mom is like, what's wrong? What's going on? Yeah. They actually don't even address his father in Earth 2 because they thought that his mother was enough. They thought that that moment was enough for the character with his family. So
yeah, absolutely.
It was a pretty incredible moment. Hey, Bob Ferguson.
Hey, Bob
Ladies
Ferguson.
And gentlemen, Bob Ferguson.
He's behind the curtain and everything. The after hours
What are people
show?
Doing chugging Tecate and talking about TV?
Have you seen The Flash, Bob? Have you seen an episode of The Flash? Okay, we're doing it on my podcast right now.
Yeah, The Flash.
Great. Yeah.
Can I jump a shark and ask you something? So it's really cool the way they deal with science because they do it a little bit more than most of superhero shows, which just like accept magic and move on.
Because they make it part of his character as a crime scene investigator.
Absolutely.
And also... Well, and Tom Cavanaugh's
and the character you're talking about, the Firestorm character, the scientist Martin Stein... says these really intelligent things.
All
the actor,
physics stuff.
Right, the actor doesn't even understand.
Theory, yes.
But apparently, if an actual physicist unpacks it, it's somewhat true. And so that's a lot of the writing
That's a great part of The Flash. And I think that's why a lot of nerds, which I use a term endearingly, I'm a huge
for
nerd,
sure.
EverQuest
nerd
forever.
Sure.
Geek, it's fine.
Geek. Geeks are better at building computers. Nerds are better at using them for games, is what I would say. But
Patty, write it down.
All right,
so you have the geek nerd science aspect covered a little bit more than most shows do.
Right.
Where I get interested in is the ethical part. So Star Labs.
Mm-hmm.
Star Labs locks these metahumans up.
Without any way to go to the bathroom, by
the way. Yeah, and no guards and no food
and
complete isolation.
As well. I have to agree because another show is doing this and I don't really understand the containment of the metahumans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no governmental jurisdiction.
Supergirl's doing that too.
Oh, got it.
There's no jurisdiction at all from any government. They're just finding these people, locking them up. And by the way, solitary confinement would lead to significant PTSD, which would... If you give that to someone who has the ability to burn down buildings with their mind, like it's just very interesting to me that these awesome characters like Cisco and all these people.
Okay, but let's try for a second to write this better. How do you if these people
well,
have
at least
superpowers?
Put a bathroom in there.
Yeah,
well,
I mean
got,
that part makes sense.
You've got Detective West. Surely we could involve the government.
But some of the people can create other things. So if you have a bathroom, you have a pipe, and maybe some of the characters can turn into
like
something.
Alex Mack out of the way.
Exactly. Yeah. Alex Mack the way out of the situation.
Is that a reference only we get?
No, I don't know. Have you seen Alex Mack, The
I
Secret World?
No.
It's a great show.
Secret World
so,
of Alex Mack.
That Nickelodeon, 96 or something like that.
Yeah. So the stakes are
she
higher
was cute
if you.
Too. I was a huge crush.
Dude, her and Topanga.
No, Topanga not as much, actually. Like young,
you weren't into Topanga?
Really young Topanga, maybe, but as Topanga got older, I thought she was annoying.
It didn't matter what age she was.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
Topanga's Boy Meets World for those
Winnie Cooper is so much better than Topanga, actually. Like,
and math
and
genius,
shoulders.
By the way.
She is. She's actually also a math genius. But Winnie Cooper is my number one childhood crush, for sure.
Lacey Chabert.
Oh, well, that, as a person, sure.
I'm just telling you.
what was she in when we were...
Mean Girls?
Well, no, that was
Lost in Space?
Mean Girls is 2004, though, at that point where, you know...
I'm still allowed to have crushes.
Right, well, yeah, I know. But I mean, like, childhood crushes.
I mean, Chitara.
you want to unpack that for a second?
Brandon I have
was
no
really
idea
into
what's
Chitara.
Happening, yes.
He said he's into...
Thundercats? Come on.
Was that your favorite cartoon? Dune character,
look,
Brandon
man,
Seabrook?
I didn't have TV growing up.
Like
we
the
lived in a
Puff
barn.
Girls, are they hot?
No, they're children.
No, that's a cartoon. That's weird.
That's not a good. I mean, there is an episode where they're adults. I think they do like one, and then you're like, okay, this is
nice.
Cool, right? No. Actually, can I
wait? If we're talking Nickelodeon, how old could they have been? I'm just wondering.
No, can I admit something in this podcast?
Please
I'm
do.
Not attracted to any cartoon. I don't. You know, it's an animated
really?
Drawing. Yeah,
Bulma from DBZ.
Bulma, I see that they're attempting to make her hot. She is still,
they
in fact,
did.
A cartoon.
Hold
yeah,
on.
Are you a huge DBZ fan? Is this something
oh,
I
dude,
didn't know about?
Dude, you want to do it.
I've watched all of it.
I've seen every episode
it's on,
900 times.
It's on Hulu, and they actually...
Wait, oh, cool.
Bulma has blue hair? Is this who we're talking
Bulma
about?
Has
she does
blue
have
hair.
Blue hair.
Yeah, she's a scientist as well, actually.
Yeah, she hooks up with Vegeta and Mother's Trunks.
Vegeta is the best of those characters, by the way.
See,
too.
That's
like Goku,
why we're friends.
Yeah, Goku is not as great as Vegeta.
No, and he's the Prince of the Saiyans.
So let's wrap Patty into this conversation in a way that you can understand. An anti-hero is better than a hero. Correct? Like the anti-hero, the Deadpool character is more intriguing.
Yes. The
than
Gambit.
Just a,
and
yeah,
the Shield.
A straight
that's
all, nice
that's
guy.
I got. The Shield and Deadpool.
They're more intriguing than
Michael
just Chiklis the absolute, like, guy Goku who's always going to do
pure
the right thing.
Conflicted. And Vegeta is conflicted. Conflicted. Yeah,
they'll
absolutely
make mistakes. They're human.
It's more relatable. That's exactly
isn't
it.
Batman,
you relate
wouldn't
to the
Batman
anti-hero.
Be an anti-hero?
Batman is for sure one. Yeah, yeah, and especially, but he does have sort of a moral kind of
it depends
thing
on which Batman you encounter.
Well,
for sure. I mean, because there's so many different
Batman
stories.
Really doesn't like killing, even more so than Superman. In the comic book, Superman is more murderer than
yeah,
Batman.
Yeah, but sometimes you get Batmans that do a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, that do kind of like,
delve
well,
into it.
That guy will never walk again. Right. But like,
Batman has killed the Joker.
Absolutely, as well he should have.
Okay, so I think coming back to, with Flash,
yeah, trying to really,
can't
yeah, let's
ever,
get back to the show.
Sorry, his Flash sorry can't ever, like, he would never, he would be so distraught right if he ever hurt anybody.
That is,
and he has to make choices. He's always conflicted. There's that scene with yep with Zoom, right, where there's the girl, there's one girl he's trying to save, right,
mm-hmm,
where he's like, try, like,
is it Patty Spivitt?
No,
is or it's
one?
it's the
black and white girl.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't
see?
Believe I'm blanking on
this
her
is
name
where
now.
I no. This is my right whole Flash Arrow
experience.
Yes,
yeah,
I can't
yeah
remember anybody's name.
Yeah, she also works at the newspaper with Iris West, and she
yes
is a real character in
the comic
books.
World Two, in Earth Two, she has
a superhero.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So Zoom comes to Earth One to destroy her, and he has to figure out how to save her.
Yeah.
At the risk of something else, doesn't
right
he?
Right. Yep, exactly. Yeah, so it's you know, and that's one of the things why I really like Tom Cavanaugh's character better than even Flash at times, because he is more of a confused kind of dual sort of, I guess,
he tries
anti-hero
to look at that bigger picture, but he's also still conflicted by the moral good
and
bad.
But he also has his daughter at stake, doesn't he?
Well, now in the second season, yes. The one from Earth 2 has his daughter. He's predominantly a good guy who's just trying to save his daughter,
but
in
he also
doing
has an element,
so,
yes,
he will cross the line. He will do things that some other people wouldn't do.
But that's so relatable, because
yeah
any parent would take any life to protect their children, I assume. I have not had the blessing of
go
being
ahead, Patty,
a parent,
you're the only
but Patty,
on
please
the
back us up.
I'm trying
would you
to
murder for your children?
This is where, but the thing about Earth 1 and Earth 2, and
yeah
you can change history and travel time.
I take all that away. I'm a bad guy.
A lot
your
of
child is there. Wouldn't you kill me before your child got hurt?
A lot
yes
of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. A lot of people in
done
17 Earths, it doesn't matter.
Let's give it a try.
Yeah.
A lot of people in these shows think that time travel and stuff is a MacGuffin. It's just something that helps them further the plot and, you know, like I said, helps to bring a Tom Cavanaugh character back or helps. Essentially, they're redoing the first season and the second season.
Yes.
There is a Speed Force bad guy. They're not sure of his identity, and he's trying to, you know, enhance his speed or kill people or do something. It's a confusing, his motivation is even a little bit confusing, and that was the first season. Reverse
mm-hmm
Flash, you didn't know why he wanted Barry to run so much faster, but really it was so he could go faster so he could travel back to his time period.
Yes.
And now Zoom just wants to go faster for we don't know. He really wants more speed.
He really wants to kill a lot
and he wants to murder
people.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they both like murdering people. So that is what the bad guy is. So that I think that would be what we call the MacGuffin of the second season, just the way that they redo the season over with kind of a new. Brandon's taking his coat off.
Yeah, Brandon.
I am.
Brandon hasn't even seen the introduction of Hawk Girl, which
Hawk Girl is amazing.
That was crazy.
I love Hawk Girl.
I have.
She's
not
a barista. Poor
she's a barista.
Girl. She's making coffee one mm-hmm day, and Cisco's like, "Want to go out?"
Yeah.
And she's like, eh.
And they don't seem like a couple that would make sense, because Cisco doesn't seem like he could pull a Hawk Girl, but
he
does.
He could pull a Hawk Girl.
And God bless him for it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying,
no, God
pull
bless him.
That Hawk
pull that
girl.
Hawk. She's great. She is a man. And they're in Legends of Tomorrow now, even though they killed Hawkman in like the second episode. He's gone. He's out.
I can't cover my ears.
No, you can't. I'm sorry. This is this is spoiler friendly.
Yeah,
does,
absolutely.
Does ruin some people's experience.
It
of the
says
show
it on the podcast.
Yeah. No, the podcast definitely spoils a bunch of
what
stuff.
Just happened?
I feel bad when I spoil it for my guests, though, because they do
know
get
what
really
just
sad.
Happened.
Hawkman
we're
is
doing
super
Flash,
dead.
So it was my own fault. It was my
super
own
dead.
He's super.
Not
he's,
just generally
he's very
dead.
Dead.
That guy
I'm
is ultra
okay with that,
dead.
They do come back.
He was so pompous.
Yeah, he really was.
I mean,
I get it. You keep getting the same girl like 1,000 times or something over the course of eternity.
You're lucky.
But you don't have to be a jerk about it.
No.
You don't have to tell her she's into you.
Stop
let
throwing
her be into you.
Yes.
Again.
And
yeah
stop throwing her off a
I
building.
I don't know, though. That's hard, though. That's hard. If you've done it 800 times.
He's done it for his entire, you know, existence. They keep coming back
yeah
every
and
20,
that's
30,
tough,
50
right
years. Because they keep getting killed. Because
at some
way
point, about 1,000 times in, aren't
yeah
you like, hey,
They keep messing up.
Why do we play this?
There's been at least 1,000 attempts at this.
I'm saying he's inefficient in so many ways.
I mean, if we learned anything from Groundhog Day, we learned that in order to actually get the girl, you have to treat her incredibly well and never be a pompous
jerk. Right, but
jerk.
Bill Murray never, he didn't have to do it more than 10 times.
What are you talking about? Oh. What are you, Art, have you seen Groundhog Day?
Have you seen this?
Well, no, I didn't. Bill,
thousands.
Bill Murray did it hundreds of thousands of times. He did it so many times. He learns the piano at an epic level. He learns how to ice sculpture. He knows languages. And he does the same date over and over and over again.
Right, but he only knows piano, ice sculptures, and languages in the course of one day. If you asked me right now to speak Spanish, and you gave me 30 seconds to do it, I could absolutely fluently sound wonderful to all of our Spanish
listeners. I've learned
something
in this podcast right now. Brandon needs to go watch Groundhog Day because you don't understand the premise.
I got those. No voy a mirar Groundhog Day otra vez.
You and Ted Cruz could hang.
Yeah, you guys could hang.
Yeah? Did you see that he looks like the Zodiac Killer?
Okay. Wait, hold on a second.
Go ahead. Let's unpack it. Patty, please help me. Let's get back on
the
course.
No, I think that Hawk Girl and Cisco, because he connects with her, he lets her see like something she hasn't seen in all the thousands of lives that she's had. Because Hawk Guy, whatever his name
Hawk
is.
Hawk Man or whatever.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Hawk Douche.
Hawk Bully.
Hawk Douche.
You can say Hawk Douche. Yeah. No, you're right. Even if you've had a romance that's lasted 1,000 different versions of your life, if you never met the absolute right person, and that person is Cisco,
could be Cisco.
1,001 isn't going to work because she's going to go Cisco.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is. Are you touched right now? You have like a really...
My collarbone itched.
Okay. By the way, epic crossover.
No, he just grabbed his chest.
It was epic crossover with Arrow, with Flash, Hawk Girl, again. Hawk Dude.
I'm thrilled that Supergirl is going to get in on all this. And it makes sense because, and this is what we see sometimes, like with Marvel getting the rights, the Disney product getting the rights to Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Because those movies started to be not so great and they weren't really getting the audience they wanted.
Yeah, they got weird.
They gave up the rights to Spider-Man. The same thing sort of happened with Supergirl. Her ratings were sort of not where they wanted them to be first season. And so connecting to Arrow, connecting to Flash, which actually is doing better, makes sense. And it's awesome for us, the viewer.
Yeah, I think DC made a really smart move with that.
Because we want to see all these worlds connected.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to go into Supergirl because I love Supergirl.
But people want the connections. That's why Marvel has done so well with the movies, because they're all interconnected.
Well, and keeping it specific to Flash, though, that is why this has been so great, because Arrow introduced Flash, and now they even reference each other all the time.
Such great crossovers. Yep. It's never disappointing.
And it's not even everyone. There's episodes where it's just Ray Palmer who goes over. There's an episode coming up where it's just going to be Jesse that's going to go over, you know, so it's really cool to see the people. Yeah. And the way that they just exist together. Caitlin has been a part of Arrow and stuff. They keep crossing them over in cool ways.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, plus the fact that Cisco was like, I can make you a better suit.
Right. Yeah. He's like, exactly. He wants to improve everybody's.
Season one Cisco character, before you know anything about him, before he becomes this character, I think that guy's one of the most solid characters of the show.
Yeah.
Because he gives you this science aspect that you don't get. You have to accept magic with a lot of other different things. Cisco gives you that scientific base. Yeah, he's a magic scientist that knows every version of science, but that's fine. But he's such a real guy, and he's such a relatable human.
He fanboys.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things I like a lot, and this actually is true for Felicity in Arrow, there's moments where she gives the reaction the audience is giving. When Stephen Amell is working out on his giant thing, and the Felicity character gets to react like, oh my God, this is amazing, he's so hot. That's something that I imagine a lot of people are saying at home, and she gets to say it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So that's the same with Cisco. When he geeks out to some of the superheroes connecting together in the room, and he's like, this is so cool.
That's what we're doing we're watching.
And
I
think that's the thing, is that like having a heart of the show. Cisco, I believe, is the heart of Flash.
Yep.
And I think that Felicity is the heart of Arrow. And I know we're not doing Supergirl, but I do think that show misses a heart.
Oh.
So the guy who has a crush on her is
because the heart can't be the lead character, right? Because
at all.
It cannot be.
Because Supergirl, I think, would be the person they're trying to make the heart of their show.
And you can't.
Right.
Like Flash
you need
and Arrow.
Someone else.
You need someone else.
You got to have a relatable guy, because Supergirl's going to be attractive to who? Everyone?
I just cracked this problem on Supergirl's ratings.
You need that guy I'm like,
you really
my God,
did. They
I'm that guy. Mm-hmm. I'm that guy that couldn't attract Susan, much less
That's
Supergirl.
That's the miscasting of Supergirl, is the guy who has a crush on her, not Jimmy.
Yeah, he's not Jimmy Olsen, the other one.
Not Jimmy Olsen, but the guy who has a crush on her, who's a little bit, he helps her with her costume.
He went to the Fortress of Solitude with her, and I wasn't so thrilled that he was there.
It's not good casting.
No, you can't just walk in there.
Mm-hmm. No, you got
Well, she flew in there, of course.
I know, but she can't just bring people.
Yes, she can.
I know, the but special you got to pick
that's
who
that's
you
the
bring.
Moment where you know that you're close to the Superman or the
when
Supergirl.
You get drawn
is
into
when they
the
bring
ice
you to
cave
the
of
Fortress of Solitude. That is exactly like someone in the real world opening up to you about their emotions. They actually physically fly you to a place that no one else is allowed to go.
So absolutely. So you got to bring me as a viewer someone relatable to the super fortress.
I agree with that. That's
absolutely.
Right. That's what Patty's saying.
I have to be able to be like, oh my God.
We should write a letter.
Oh
let's
God,
write
like
a letter
me.
To Supergirl and let
say,
them know.
Fix the heart of the right? show.
You need a better heart in your show.
Every show needs a heart. I mean, mm-hmm. This is a much longer conversation.
For sure. No. Especially,
other shows.
Especially
yes.
superhero shows need to have a heart because there's so many things that are unrelatable about
yeah
the
for sure.
Betty
yeah.
my wife hates superheroes because she thinks it's completely unrealistic. She goes to the movie, she saw Deadpool, she goes to a lot of the movies, she watches a lot of the TV shows with me.
Did she not like Deadpool?
She thinks they're all okay.
Hey, this is a spoiler about Flash all day long, but don't spoil Deadpool for me. I work a lot. I haven't
who's
seen
who's the heart for you on Deadpool, because TJ Miller, who I've worked with
he has
and
to
I
be
adore he was so good.
He's so good. TJ Miller is amazing. Has he lost a lot of weight, too? He seems like really skinny in the movie.
Did he Chris Pratt?
You know what's funny?
He almost did. Or even
I kind of think he put on weight. I mean, I've known him
oh, really?
Since he was a child. Seriously. Like, he was a baby when I knew him.
In Silicon Valley, he's kind of a chubby
dude.
Yeah, dude,
which I love.
Oh, it's amazing. That show's
yeah,
awesome.
And he's a big dude in that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's him and the black woman. I don't know her name.
He played 773 Chicago Comedy Sketch Fest.
He was my opening act, and I said I should keep a track of this guy, and then he made Cloverfield or whatever it was.
Yeah, and now can't win them all.
Off.
Can't win them all.
Probably should have.
Most of the guys from Silicon Valley are actually all Chicago actors.
Yeah.
Which
anyway.
Is a really great show
also,
on HBO.
Also, a couple of them also
open
for me,
out.
But I'm fine.
Insider Baseball on
Get
TJ
on
Miller
show,
on Sketch Fest. They signed up. They have this incredible following. I mean, we sold out the theater mm-hmm. well beyond it. And, you know, usually groups
fire
come
hazard.
In.
Fire hazard. I was there.
Yeah, absolutely. Like groups hazard. Come in a week before, and they give you their tech list, and like, this is what we're going to do. TJ Miller and them showed up 10 minutes before. I don't know. And we're just like, I don't know, man. Just turn the lights on. We're good to go.
They killed it.
Oh, man. They were
he's
so
hilarious.
Good.
I think he's incredible.
Well, Slick Your Player was a brilliant idea where yeah. they would like mm-hmm. stand on the different. Anyway.
You got to pick which person was going to do a scene.
Mm-hmm.
The audience
or be
got
like
to.
They would,
did TJ Miller get picked for every scene, though?
No.
No, because they have a very talented group. And,
oh, wow.
and the audience was good enough. I mean, that Sketchfest audience. It was
well,
so
is
cool.
that when everyone walked in, though, for those crowds? Because Sketchfest is a really cool event where a whole lot of people mm-hmm. just go to see whatever. Some people walk in and they have no idea what show they're going to see.
For sure.
They just ask. You had two really big names that performed mm-hmm. at it. Did the people who went to those shows, because I sadly didn't get to go to either one, I missed them. Did they go for that specific person, or do you think that a lot of the audience was actually for everybody?
It's a mixture.
Both?
Yes, both.
Yeah,
I think
both. I think so. I mean, I was standing, I was outside smoking a cigarette, never smoke, which, and so TJ and them walk in, and I was just like, hey, man, I patted him on the back and was like, thank you for your work.
Yeah.
And so you see the reaction from everybody in the crowd when he walks through. But when they start the show, the cool thing about Sketchfest is they just want to see a great show.
Yeah.
And those audiences are
great.
So open to everything. It was awesome.
That whole cast
was
great.
Awesome.
That's cool. That's cool that they would go for kind of one name or maybe not go for one name and then actually fall in love with everybody.
Yeah, you come for one name, but you know you're not at Sketchfest for one name. Mm-hmm. So you're open to the experience.
Because
that's why it's so great.
Because these sketches have hearts within them. Everybody is sort of a heart, which is exactly what we're talking about
yeah.
with Flash. It's the ensemble cast that makes you so love what you're seeing. It's not just the one
exactly.
person, the lead character.
It's not
character.
Just Barry Allen.
Right. That's why
it's
these
Cisco
shows are
drawing
so good.
You in, for
right.
sure.
Yeah. No, and that's why at times I think even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. struggled with focusing too much on Agent Coulson being kind of the star as opposed to...
Yeah, who could be the heart of that? It
it's,
had to be...
It's
well, it was
Fitzsimmons.
Both, well, it was both Fitzsimmons yeah. and there's two the two British characters.
It's Fitz and Simmons.
Well, if you watch...
Fitzsimmons is yes. two people, yeah.
You
yeah.
watch the S.H.I.E.L.D. figure it out over a season and a half.
Well, and that
you
okay.
I mean?
So I wanted to talk about this just in general at some point on my podcast, and I know it comes up on a lot of the weeks that we talk about these shows. Even when you're finding your footing in the first season, the newer the show is, the less time they get to actually develop what they are.
For sure.
So a lot of things get canceled before they really deserve to. Some
Firefly.
Things get canceled. Arrested Development gets canceled, even though it's been doing great, and. You know, it's
and
just not
Netflix
getting ratings.
Ruins.
But
it's funny when you go back and some of the shows I've been challenged to and I watched the first season of MASH. It's not very good compared to the rest of the show MASH.
Yeah.
And what's sad about that is in today's kind of TV economy, it probably doesn't make it. But that's one of the best shows on television. That's
watch
existed.
The Seinfeld pilot.
Yeah, no, the full first
I'm not
season.
Yeah, exactly. We
I'm
got
not
it.
You can say anything you want about Seinfeld. This is on our podcast. Seinfeld is not as good of a show as Friends, and I sort of want to end my podcast every week with shows that are also better than Seinfeld. I just want to say
the pilot episode of Friends is so, just that opening scene where in that coffee shop, and she comes in a wedding dress because Ross says, "I just want to be married again."
Yep.
And she comes in a wedding gown,
right?
And Chandler says, "I want to be a millionaire."
Yep.
Right, like joke, boom, delivered. Series established. I'm
right.
just saying.
No, it's a great. It's a
not that I remember.
Right. Yeah. No. Me neither. Not that I remember the pilot.
I don't know what you guys
Friends.
Are talking about.
I'm just saying.
No. And what's funny about Friends specifically is actually I think they're all the heart of that show. I think that at times all of those characters get to be
at
the
any
kind
moment.
Of, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is what's the exact opposite in a show like Seinfeld that just doesn't to us kind of be as. As emotionally, it's not as emotionally good. Seinfeld is a very, very funny TV show.
Seinfeld literally came out and told you what the show was.
Right.
And that, I don't remember which number of seasons, but they came out when Jerry and George pitching that pilot. This is a show about nothing.
Right. They did a very funny kind of parody of themselves within a couple of episodes. But the problem to me with Seinfeld, and it's an excellent show, it's a hilarious show, is that it doesn't emotionally fulfill me. And shows like Flash, so shows like Arrow, take these emotional moments that it wasn't capable of, because the premise and everything to begin with was, we're these kind of terrible people who don't really care about anyone else, so they can't have. There's never an episode where Jerry has this emotional breakdown, and then you connect with him in a different way. He's just a funny guy who's kind of a jerk.
But isn't that so cool that the Flash can come in and with superpowers, with
science
we don't even get, bring us into that, which is really cool.
I wonder if that's sort of like from a writing perspective, something they really want to do, because writing a superhero show might not be fulfilling to us as people entirely, because so much of it is outside of reality that maybe, I think that superhero shows are more emotional than a lot of other shows that I see because of that.
Yeah, you gotta up it.
Well, it's not just upping it, it's connecting with the audience, and the only real way to do that in a superhero show seems to be on an emotional level compared to something else, because the actual things happening on screen, the Flash running around and stopping a guy by going super fast, you can't connect with that. There's no way for us, we can dream of that, and there's a wish fulfillment, but that's the most you can get out of that part of a superhero show.
No, I'm trying to think of like the comparison between Arrow and Flash and why I'm more drawn to Arrow than Flash.
Well, it's even more emotional, and the realism, I think, becomes a thing too. Maybe for you, maybe not. Arrow is a Batman character. He has no superpower. He has no metahuman ability.
But his parents are there, right? Like, he was there when his father kind of sacrificed himself, and his mother, his sister. He has his entire life and his city, right? You fail the city, right? So he has this whole thing.
Emotions are a superpower.
Right. And he, I, you know what it is? I am
so
much.
$5 bills.
I am drawn to vengeance. Yeah. More than I, because Flash is a very sweet. He's so not happy-go-lucky.
He's innocent. There's an innocent kind of, which is actually what our contention is with this comic book or this cartoon show that we like. Goku, the character from Dragon Ball Z, is a very innocent hero who just constantly does the right thing.
Yes.
Almost as a child would, who has superpowers.
He'll literally kill himself so his family can figure out who they are.
He can come
back to life 19 times, but absolutely.
I love the evolution of Arrow, where in the first season, he kills a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Like everybody.
Yeah.
Like...
And they even address it too. They're like, I don't think you can stop being this guy. The body count is too high.
Yeah.
And eventually he does surmount the fact that he murdered a bunch of people.
Which is, how relatable is that? Like,
I've never murdered anyone. I don't know about
I've been this bad person. I've made these bad mistakes.
I heard on Patty's show that you had to deal with a lot of chickens in your life, so I don't know what you...
Roping chickens, my friend. Hey, you got 100,000 chickens?
Are they like lambs? Do you hear the silence of them?
Yeah, no, it's roping chickens because you grab their head.
Do you see any chicken faces when you go to sleep at night? Do they flash?
No,
a couple?
You know what? Every time you enjoy a McChicken,
uh-huh.
I think in my head, you're welcome.
Okay,
Fair enough.
I would stop eating McChickens if I had to kill the chickens.
It's science. It just is what it is. You got 100,000 chickens and four chicken houses.
Thank you for your service to my McChicken.
2,000 of them are very ill, and they're going to make all the other chickens sick. So you go through with a wheelbarrow. Mm-hmm. You pick them up. You put them in the wheelbarrow. You go outside. There's a pole next to an incinerator.
This doesn't sound good.
You grab their face.
The face of the chicken.
And it's called roping a chicken, so you wrap, like, you swing
roping
it around
Roping is such
once,
an innocent, that sounds like a game you
And
play.
Yet, let me tell you why it's not.
Okay.
So you swing him around once in the air, and then you flip him around that pole, and a
you were doing this very aggressively, by the way. I was
6 years old.
Almost naturally.
I didn't enjoy it. I knew it as a fact.
You flung a chicken into a fire, though, right? That's what you were acting out in the studio.
You wrap them around, okay. And then you fling them around the pole. That breaks their neck and kills them instantly. You throw them in an incinerator, and that way the 85,000 other chickens that weren't sick live and go to your dinner table.
Is that the best way to kill a chicken, to play a game of tetherball with it?
Cheapest way.
The absolute best.
They don't suffer.
I don't know. That sounds violent, and it does sound, there's a child aspect that might be appealing.
And necessary. He's saying it's necessary.
Yeah,
it is. It's necessary to for the rest of the chickens.
Could you keep
the
ill chickens in like an ill chicken house?
Let me ask you this. All those chickens are going to die so you can eat. All of them.
I know.
So like,
I'm very appreciative of the people.
It's not like I'm watching him and like laughing as I slowly strangle the life out of its little chicken
body.
This
has to happen. This has to happen.
No. It's great. It's really, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I feel
everyone at Tyson is very appreciative.
So
or Butterball or whoever. I'm not
So you
names.
Would be an anti-hero if you I got superpowers, you then, yes. wouldn't you?
If I have the power to kill thousands of chickens at once.
If you had a power to make everyone a vegan.
Well, can I ask everybody for a second, if you could like rob a bank and you knew you'd get away with it,
okay.
would you do it?
Yes. Patty?
Anti-hero. I assume you'd use some of the money for good. You'd Robin Hood at least
I'd
part of the money.
So many hundreds of chickens.
Okay, cool. Anti-hero. Patty, if you could rob a bank, would you do it?
No.
Absolutely.
Really?
Wouldn't get caught.
Oh my God, am I Flash?
The bank,
FDIC,
you are.
FDIC, everyone's insured.
The bank would even get their money back through the insurance
absolutely.
And stuff.
Yeah, but
you just
pay
get
for
a bunch
it down
of
the
money.
Road.
Do you?
Everyone pays for it down
okay, well,
the road.
Okay, well, now that implies some sort
don't.
Of super
existence. Here's the thing,
super
is that Batman,
existence.
Look, Batman and Arrow, right? Ollie mm-hmm. and Bruce Wayne, mm-hmm. they mm-hmm. both have the ability to reimburse. Like, they can back up whatever.
Well, Oliver doesn't really
not
have money anymore.
No access anymore. And at some point, neither did Bruce.
Yeah, well, in the movies, that was dumb.
It depends on which Batman.
That made no
follow.
Sense if we talk about The Dark Knight Rises for a second. That obviously could have been corrected.
They
break into Wall Street with guns and they steal all of Bruce Wayne's money through what is obviously, you know, not an accurate trading thing that he did. So you really could challenge that immediately. Be like, hey,
glitch.
All my money is gone. By the way, there were guys with guns at Wall Street today.
That's a big glitch.
And they kind of took my stuff. Yeah. That doesn't really...
That seems
well,
insurable.
The crime and the corruption in Gotham is far beyond what we can understand here in beautiful,
okay.
innocent
so
Chicago.
So would I rob a bank if everyone was going to be okay?
If everybody's going to be fine.
Yeah,
the
government
not,
has insured
possible.
Everyone.
It's because
you're robbing a tiny
no,
little
no, no,
credit
no, no,
union.
No. She's being Flash.
There's
you're
nobody...
Being, you're Flash.
It's a butterfly
Patty,
effect.
You're a Flash character.
Right? I'm not, though.
The butterfly effect is why he didn't save his mom.
Oh, God.
You just literally said... You, Patty is the Flash character.
You Ashton
She's
Kutcher
not
going to
commit
truth.
A crime because
I can't believe I'm not
it
Batman.
Would be wrong to commit a crime.
I so want
to
be Batman.
Really?
And Brandon so is Batman, apparently.
Oh, man. and I'm telling you, I don't know if I'd use the money for good.
Although,
I might open my own
yeah,
theater.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm not even sure that he's Batman. He might just be a villain. You might actually just be like a bad guy.
I am a Robin Hood. I am a realist.
I think you're more Catwoman. I think you would do more bad things than good
First
things.
First off, thank you.
You're welcome. Patty is the Flash, and you are the Catwoman.
I can't be Flash. I want to be
you
Supergirl.
Are.
Supergirl would not
Supergirl,
also,
you're right. She's also very pure.
She would also not rob
and
the bank.
She very often does that same like kind of childish, she's having fun with her powers.
Yes.
She's very innocent.
Look
like,
what
the
this
discovery.
Does.
Yeah.
No, you know why I'm like Supergirl? And by the way, I know you haven't seen this. Every time she tries to help, there's an element of chaos.
Yep. That is very true.
There's like, I'm helping, also mm-hmm. polluting the bay.
Right. I have saved this ship from sinking and in the process leaked all the oil out.
That's
and that,
me.
That is a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You are not the end all and be all.
I would almost say with great power
comes
great responsibility.
We're going to just gonna quote Ben, Uncle Ben. Yes. That's fine.
No, I'm Supergirl.
No, it's fine. We can quote Uncle Ben also to end the podcast. Before I end, there's one last question
so
I usually
things.
Ask. I know.
There's so many things. There's so much more.
Exactly, Patty. So this is why I end with this last question. If you had to pick one thing we left out, and I know we left out a lot, what would it be? What's one thing from Flash? We talked about a lot of different things. So just maybe in general, one thing that you feel like was left out of this conversation that you wish was a part of it. Brandon, you can go first.
I can go first. I think The Flash is an incredibly good show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it gives me a little bit more science than a lot of things do, as we mentioned before,
which
I
really
appreciate.
Which you nerd out on.
I absolutely do. Mm-hmm. The more scientifically accurate you can be.
Do you understand all the science, though, or you just like
the
fact that
they're trying? No, but you sell me enough on particle physics, I'll believe you. Okay. You know what I mean? And I think the general masses would back me up there. I mean,
sure.
Not all of us are all particle physics.
We are not.
Physicists.
No.
So I love that aspect of it. There's ethical issues that I have in Flash where they lock people up in solitary confinement with no sort of like actual government enforcement and things like that.
Because these people are too powerful to be given to anyone.
Right, but then that the major question becomes,
how do they go to the
who
bathroom?
Gets to
where's the toilet?
No,
that is,
say,
the major question.
Who gets to decide that?
No. The major question is how do they go to the restroom?
So if I'm super fast, I get to lock whoever I want up.
No, you only get to lock the most dangerous of the society.
Right. I think the government and the general populace would have an issue with that.
Well, that's why you don't tell them.
And then that's why the Flash works. And that's my final statement.
Well, Patty, what is missing?
Before we go on, that is obviously it comes up as a problem because there is going to be the reason they set it up that way is there's going to be a breach in security and they're going to get out.
They're going to get out.
But if you're abusing
these people anyway,
and they're going to be back.
Okay, fair.
And it's a reflection of what happens here.
But you're abusing these people anyway. Why not get the government involved? Star Labs is an incredible facility, but we could get the whole government involved in figuring these people out.
Is not always right.
Let's start with.
But you can't just live in a country where you just don't agree with the government.
Hey. Pump the
Vote.
Brakes for, pump the
Feel
brakes
the
for
burn.
A second. Let's start with the idea that first and foremost, the government is somewhat scary to superheroes because you don't know how they're going to use you. The government is not actually going to do what
have
Flash
you seen,
wants to do.
That's valid.
Have you seen Splash? They did not let Daryl Hannah
do what he wanted.
No, they would have if they gave her over to the government. They would have tested her. Yes. Yeah, they would have tested her. They would dissect the mermaid.
Exactly. Yeah, no, if you've seen the
that's my favorite reference, by the way, for the government getting involved, is they're going to like dissect and mutilate and
all the time. Alex Mack. They had this problem on Alex Mack, man.
That's
let's go back.
A great bring
you know,
back.
Let's
that's
remember that
true.
Alex Mack was very.
By the way, why Supergirl government is having a hard
time. It's not even it's not even just the study aspect. It's the control aspect.
Yes.
If the government has control of Flash's power, Superman will do this in the upcoming movie that I'm pretty sure is going to be great, but other people are not so sure.
We'll
it's
see.
Be great. Yeah, Superman, and this comes from the comic book that is based on this, becomes an agent of the government, and that's not a good thing. Even though he's a good person who wants to do right, if the government can convince him that you're flying over to this other country to beat up these bad guys, and oh wait, they're not actually bad guys, Iron Man addresses this a lot in the movies.
Yeah.
You can
Civil War.
Right. You
up.
Can push a superhero to do something bad because he's operating as an agent.
But that's implying that the government is always bad. And
the
it's
government
also
is
implying
not always
that
good
if,
because
if you think you're being good, if you're being right, you can usurp your governmental
See, the opposite of your sentence is the correct one. The government is not always good. The government doesn't have to be bad all the time, as in Deadpool. In Deadpool, there's a moment where one of the characters says to be a hero, to be a good guy, there's five or six moments that you have to choose the right thing. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to wake up and have cereal as a hero. You don't have to wake up and go to the shower as a superhero. You have to, in these specific moments, choose to do the right thing. And the government is not always going to choose to do the right thing. They're not going to be consistent. Superman, Supergirl, consistently will choose the right thing, which is why you can't operate for the government, which is, I'm just going to go ahead and drop this all the way back, which is why the Flash can't have prisons that are run by the government, because then the government's going to control what he
does. So the president we all voted for can never be good, but this guy I don't even know who's got superpowers because he was standing in the right place at the right time, he must be ultimately
good. That's jealousy, my
friend.
That's, yeah.
It's not... Agree
he's in the
disagree.
Right place at the right time, but he also possesses the qualities of somebody who can use those powers.
Right. No, no, no. We're not.
So we all should just trust him.
No, no.
That guy's super fast,
wait, right and wrong must be in his hands.
What choices has he made?
Hey, yeah, you're exactly. We actually know more than that he has a superpower. By watching the show, you know the person he is. And if you met people, you would know the person he is. Is Flash a bad guy? No, he's a good guy. Are there bad guys that have superpowers? Yes. That's why a good guy needs to come rise up to fight the bad guys. And that good guy does have a prison. I only accept the fact that Flash's prison isn't run by the government because Flash is in charge of it. And I know the Flash from watching the show. I would not be okay with Leonard Snart having a secret prison. That would be bad.
So Barry Allen, without any superpowers, you'd vote for president?
Sure. Barry Allen's a wonderful dude.
He has no legislative experience whatsoever.
Well, you're right. He would have to learn that on the job. But Barry Allen's a great dude. He's a great guy.
I see what you're saying, but I think that implies superpowers make someone.
No, it's not, because I'm not talking about all the people
that
have superpowers.
It's how he uses them.
Right, it's this specific person.
The choices
he
makes.
So Flash for president 2016 is
I'm saying.
No experience whatsoever.
Patty,
he has to start with like maybe
it's anti-establishment. It's Bernie versus
Alderman,
Trump. That's what we're dealing with.
That's exactly what we're dealing with right now.
I'm just saying.
Right. Neither one of them.
You don't go executive. Yeah. No one goes executive hire.
By the way, anyway. Barry Allen is not going to do an interview where he says sexist and racist things. So he is not exactly a Donald Trump character. He would be a very moral, wonderful, lovely man who I would vote for to do stuff.
You got
to
follow his Instagram account, by the way. So much
Trump's
fun.
Or Barry Allen?
Barry Allen's and Arrow's. And also, what's the name of Arrow's little sister's dad, real dad's, John.
No, Arrow's little sister's real dad, John Barrowman.
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way,
John Barrowman was a musical guy first. He was in a bunch of music. He can sing. He's amazing.
He can do so many things.
Yeah, he's really cool.
We must have him on the show.
Is that the thing we left out of this podcast, Patty?
No,
Barrowman?
No, we actually left out Caitlin Snow.
Caitlin
completely,
is almost not
who's
talking
going
about
to be what?
She is already Killer Frost. Yes. We've seen her a couple times. She will be back. She was in a precarious position last we saw her, and she might have been killed. But from what I hear from what the writers have said, she will still be in the show. She's not
dead. The people have spoken.
And she was torn for a while. And going back to the emotional sort of conflict of the show, there was a moment where she wanted Barry.
Yeah.
Right? Where she was like...
Yeah, she got confused.
She was yearning for him because her guy had been killed, she thought. Yeah. Only it turns out...
No, he is dead.
Well, but for a while he was Firestorm.
Right.
Half of Firestorm.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so the first time he died, he was still alive as part of Firestorm. And she was dead.
See?
And now he's dead again.
See what I...
No, you're doing great.
Oh, it's so hard.
A lot of things happen.
These things, all I know is he's sharing a bio with Victor Garber, which
confuses me. Because now he's for sure dead.
Yes, he's for sure dead now. Yeah. But I'm saying he was. So she's So there's a lot of yearning on Flash.
Well, and it seems like Caitlin constantly likes the good guy in the room. Because now she also has a huge crush on Jay Garrick.
Right.
So does Flash stand out specially as the good guy?
He is a moral guy, yeah. I think at all times he's typically making the exact... Unlike Arrow, he's always making the good decision.
You know what it is? There's more of a naivete about him.
Yeah.
There's almost like a,
But does that imply that good is wrong sometimes?
Is it good is wrong?
I don't know how you got there.
If you're saying he's naive, do you therefore imply that his decisions to always be good are sometimes incorrectly drawn?
No, they're not incorrect.
No,
they can be flawed.
They can be flawed,
but they're not incorrect. Incorrect is too harsh of a word. There can be ways that he could have done it better, and that's how he gets into silly positions where, you know, the narrative goes from
not
more than
well 5 minutes.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it goes back to the way that they portray some people like children. Children are very innocent, very honest people when you get to know them at a certain age, like my nephew.
Sure.
I just went to my nephew's birthday party. I played the head zombie in
his
birthday party.
It was
amazing.
Talk about that
tonight. Yeah, I said we were going to.
Tomorrow. We'll
okay,
do
cool.
That.
Well, Dr. Collins was the guy who synthesized the cure for zombies, but unfortunately, in the process, I was attacked by and turned into a zombie. So
this
I got
was
to
a
be.
Birthday party?
Yeah,
story?
I got to be killed by Nerf
darts.
It was a request.
I am so on board.
My brother's wife wrote the whole script. There was a script. I had lines and stuff. It was amazing. Yeah.
Your family is cool.
We need pictures.
It was really great. I have video,
online,
although it's very dark. No, it's Betty's phone. Okay. It's very dark downstairs where they did it. Anyway.
As every zombie movie should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what I learned from that whole process when this little 8-year-old is being told that, like, this is the next step and then you're going to beat the bad guy is he is the innocent, sweet superhero that we see on TV.
Okay.
Because that is what they represent. And naive comes
well, Barry
with that.
Barry does. I think that Barry is very sweet and innocent and naive.
Well, and so is Supergirl. Like, there's a
but
naive
Ollie
that comes
is not.
With it.
So
well, because
anti-hero.
He's an anti-hero, yeah.
Right.
So who's more interesting to watch? Is it the the impossible to relate to amazingly good guy in every situation?
Well, no. So we are, in a sense, and this does happen with me a lot. We are sort of repeating in the podcast the idea, but I did say that I think the anti-hero is a more intriguing character on television or in movies.
I think so, because we're all conflicted.
He's not the
way.
Person that you'd want trying to save you, but he is the most interesting kind of relatable person.
What about Peter Parker? Okay, so I think that of...
So, no.
Now we're just jumping the
shark. I mean... There have been times,
and I have to say, we have to go with who we love the most as Spider-Man. Yes.
So on this podcast, there are times when I try to end the show and then someone says something and then I can't end the show. And if we talk about Spider-Man, I can't end the show because the reason
Peter Parker is the most brilliant
the
superhero
reason
ever.
Spider-Man is so great
ever.
Is because
he's the best one.
He has
I'm sorry. He's
no, no,
the
no.
best one.
Spider-Man is and this actually this is what Stan Lee says is why he's so proud of that character. He was a weak kind of nerdy kid who was getting picked on and beat up and he gets power. In life, if you were a kid like that or if you had a friend who was a kid like that that you sort of felt bad for that he was getting teased in school, that's the guy you'd want to have superpowers. And then the way that Peter Parker reacts to getting all the superpowers is also what you want. He's not taking revenge right. on all the people who hurt him. He's actually saving them.
But he has
basis.
Moments where he does get frustrated.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's conflicted
Flash Thompson.
So many times along the way.
Yeah. No, he is. And he was actually the first in the golden age of superheroes when they first started like coming out. He was the first one that had this sort of real life kind of persona that
yeah,
wasn't
everybody
even,
else was an alien or a billionaire.
Well, no, even Batman was a detective and he was a little bit more straight laced beginning Batman. Spider-Man was the first one to tell us that in order to be a really good superhero, you had to be more than just a guy who could beat up bad guys.
He is wish fulfillment.
Yeah, exactly correct. He is wish fulfillment for, I mean, Captain America is another one who's like it, especially the way that they portray him in the movies is another person who
he's pretty.
Wants to be good, Chris Evans, wants to be good, and then eventually gets power to be good.
Right.
He gets the power to be...
Right, in a similar way. So that origin story was hard for me to track. I did not grow up on Captain America.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're against Nazis, everyone's for you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that guy.
Yeah.
I do love the Captain America. Anyway,
yeah.
Peter
Parker...
Well,
it's also Marvel. They're both Marvel, so... Mm-hmm. And they're both Stan Lee.
Yeah. And that's mm-hmm. why, like... DC is a little bit tougher.
DC
right?
DC constantly had to catch up with Marvel, and it's happening now in the movie universe, like you said. DC yeah. is always, they create these really intriguing characters, but then they don't execute them the
fingers
way that Marvel does.
Fingers crossed on Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I think
saw
it's going to be good.
Have
yeah,
you seen the clips?
They better do it well.
So much pressure. Because that 70s series, for whatever its flaws and how campy it got, mm-hmm. there was so much heart. By the way,
say it again. By the way,
we talked about Heart before. Mm-hmm. That show had heart across the board.
And they were a little in front of the times about empowering women so much, which was, to their credit, very awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's amazing because even in today's world, you think that at times we're still behind on that. There's still moments where you
For
think
sure
that there's way
are.
Too many... Way too many male
no,
heroes.
I haven't,
than
I haven't
yeah,
that.
Patty thinks everything's fine, but I'm
it's
gonna hear. I'm here to tell you,
really
Patty.
Just going really swimmingly.
It's crazy. Yep. 2015.
This was so much fun.
2016. I don't even know what year it is. Go ahead.
It is. This was fun.
Yeah, I love this podcast.
Are we too off topic?
No.
What's our flash? We need a flash. Like,
are we doing? Okay, this is great. Let's end the podcast.
What's a good flash? I mean, like, I
yeah.
I love look. Part of what I love is how much my son loves this show.
Mm-hmm.
He is inspired by Barry Allen.
Yeah.
Loves
mm-hmm.
it. He's a scientist. Loves the science of it that you guys
talk
about. Well,
your son would actually be the stereotypical kid that deserves superpowers because, like you say sometimes on our show, how sweet, how innocent, and how great he is. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's how wonderful he sort of expresses some things and how beyond his years he seems to be.
He's got a lot of rage.
Well, that's fine, though. If
he's
you take
got a lot
the rage
about
social
injustice.
But shouldn't a real superhero have
wrong...
to deal with him?
Yeah. Spider-Man
you know
gets
mean?
Angry.
Absolutely.
Flash gets angry.
That's
they just
true.
Get angry at the right people.
You have to balance that. You're right.
Yeah.
All right.
No. Griffin okay. deserves superpowers is how we're going to end this podcast.
You know what? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I have
wow.
nothing else to
at
add
at least a
to
couple.
That.
I mean, he doesn't have to get a whole bunch, but like, yeah. like two or three.
You know
yeah.
what?
Maybe
that
he
kid...
can fly, but only when it's not cold.
Here's the thing.
Okay, I didn't mean one power with stipulations. I said we'll give him a couple powers.
Here's what's great. He already has superpowers.
So. Aw, look at that. I don't know how to say anything nicer than that. This is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. Thank you to both my guests, Brandon C. Price, who... What else do, Brandon? Go ahead and say real quick.
I created and host a show called Vamp. Mm-hmm. Vamp, a music comedy drinking show, Fridays and Saturdays at 10:30.
Everybody's
at
Wayne Brady.
Chicago. Everyone's Wayne Brady. Yeah. It's whose line, but we got a full band. It's BYOB. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the best comedic time you can have in Chicago without seeing a Patty Vasquez show.
You haven't been.
I haven't seen Vamp.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen Cupid
go.
Players now, but I still haven't seen Vamp.
We have to
which
go.
I really have to
well,
go.
Although I think
you.
This weekend, I don't know when this goes up, but we should go see Cupid Players.
This will be up on Friday unless we record Fargo.
All right.
Might Fargo might jump it.
This one.
Okay.
And
right.
we should go see Cuba Players on
yeah.
Saturday.
May 7th is when I want you guys to come. You can edit this out if you need to.
No, it's fine. Let's go ahead.
But that's our 150th show.
Nice.
The Chicago Tribune is coming. We're loading
we know
it
those
up.
Guys.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm going to make it the ultimate cast, too.
Can I come
so.
And make yeah. margaritas at your show?
Oh, please
think
have
about it.
When can I be your guest bartender? Okay, different show. Anyway. So.
No, I just burped into the microphone. That didn't help. I turned it off for the pre and then burped into it with it back on. That was exactly the opposite of what I wanted to do.
That made me feel so much better
hey,
about
Craig,
my performance.
Thank you,
Takate.
Thank you for having me.
No, thank you, Patty. I would explain to our listeners who you are, but if they got to a WGN Plus podcast, they should know who Patty Vasquez is, I think, at that point.
This was fun.
Yeah. We are on from 11 to 2 o'clock. You host Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
And you produce Pretty Late
it's
with Patty
Vasquez.
It's
a really, really good show.
It's
I hear
very
it's
highly rated.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I have fun.
I hear maybe they're like winning in ratings. Like yeah, incredible show.
And then
to
we're done.
Throw that out there. Yeah, okay. So. This is You've Been Challenged with Craig Collins. Come back next week, where my guest is also Patty Vasquez.